What are the qualities of a good shepherd? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week, people are really starting to get on your nerves. I mean, they're driving you crazy. You're ready to scream. You're just so upset. Stop. Stop. I can appreciate you're getting upset. Yes, people do get on our nerves. We live in a society that has very little patience. You may be justified in being angry, but stop. You got to be a Christian here. You got to follow Jesus. You got to remember the words from the song Les Miserables, the musical Les Miserables. To love another person is to see the face of God. You got to train yourself to do that. That doesn't come naturally. Christianity is an abnormal way of life. By abnormal, I don't mean weird. I mean it's just not the norm. You know what the norm is. Don't get mad, get even. No, you can't do that. We cannot perpetuate this constant cycle of violence. We got to be people who love. And, you know, most of the people going on our nerves are the people we live closest to, the people we interact the most, the people we say that are our loved ones, our loved ones. A man said to me once, I never knew I could get so angry until I got married. To love another person is to see the face of God. You become a domestic mystic. You become a kitchen mystic. You become a person who lives in this world, but who has the vision of Jesus. What you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. Well, the scripture passage that I want to share with you today is one line. It's John. It's from John chapter on chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Okay. Which brings me back to how I opened the program today. Remember how I opened it? What are the qualities of a good shepherd? Well, we have that right there. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Which means what? Which means the job description of a shepherd. You protect your sheep, even if it costs you your life. Do you know anybody that did that? Yeah, I know. You know the answer to that question. Jesus did. Because he called himself the Good Shepherd. He used the whole shepherd image because it resonated with the people with whom he lived and preached. I say it often in the program. They were shepherds, they were farmers, they were fishermen. They knew the habits of the sheep. They knew what a hired hand would be like and one who actually owned the sheep. The Good Shepherd, not the hired hand. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus did that. When you look at a crucifix, if you're a Catholic, you have either a crucifix in your church, in the sanctuary, in your home, in your bedroom. You look at Jesus hanging on the cross. Do you need any more evidence? Do you need any more evidence of how much he loves you? Part of the problem here, and it really hurts me profoundly because I'm a priest who's supposed to be a shepherd, is when the other shepherds do not manifest the characteristics of the good shepherd Jesus Christ. You see, at the time of Jesus, it was a shepherd, and I've mentioned this before in my program, who would fight off the wolves with his staff and his dog. It was a shepherd who would go up the mountain trying to find a path that was smooth so the sheep would not break a leg. It was a shepherd who would keep the sheep, have the dog keep the sheep away from the water until the shepherd tasted the water to make sure it was not poisonous. Anybody who wants to shepherd God's church, the church of Jesus Christ, has to manifest those characteristics. And that hasn't always happened in the history of the church. We need good shepherds in our parishes, in our congregations, we need good shepherds in our domestic church. That's our home life. A mother and father has to be a good shepherd. Now, if you know Psalm 23, there's that passage in Psalm 23. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of darkness, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And you might know Psalm 42, because Psalm 42 has a sentence in this that's a very technical phrase for shepherds. And it goes like this: why are you cast down, my soul? Cast down is a technical term. You see, if a sheep would eat too much and become bloated, and for some reason fall over, it wouldn't be able to get up. Well, in a very short period of time, not being able to get up, gases would form inside the sheep. And the gases would just take over the whole body and the sheep could die. So a good shepherd was constantly on the alert to see a sheep that was cast down. And if he found one that was cast down, he would run and try to pick it up. Because in picking up the sheep, the gases would be eliminated. Sometimes the sheep was so weak already from the gases that when he picked it up, he'd have to hold the sheep between his legs until it was able to, his legs, the legs were sturdy enough to be able to carry the weight and be able to move again. A good shepherd watches the sheep who are cast down. And Psalm 42 says, why are you cast down, my soul? Why do you sigh within me? Trust in God, hope in God. And so the characteristics of a good shepherd is desperately needed these days in our churches and in our homes. Otherwise, what happens to a congregation? It becomes divided. There's infighting. There's backbiting. There's unkind things said and done. And sometimes there's a split. There's a split in the congregation. There's a cute story that I love to tell, and it's a story about a man who is shipwrecked. And he lives on this deserted island all by himself for 10 years. And after 10 years, a ship comes by, he signals to the ship, they come and they rescue him. And as they're taking the man off the deserted island, they see two buildings. And the rescuer says to the man, what's that building over there? The man says, oh, that's the church I went to. And the rescuer says, well, what's that building over there? The second one. And the guy says, that's the church I used to go to. What a great story to manifest how people can sometimes fight within a community and a congregation that causes a division. Jesus doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to fracture the body of Christ into 1,000 pieces. That's been done over the past 2,000 years. There's 25,000, at least 25,000 different Christian denominations throughout the world. Is that the will of God? No. It's because there wasn't good shepherding done. And we can take it down to our family level, because as I said earlier, we need mothers and fathers, husbands and wives who are good shepherds. I know families that had 6, 7, 8 kids and they still stay in touch. They still are very responsive to their elderly parents' needs and to one another's needs. That they enjoy getting together for the holidays. I mean, that just doesn't happen naturally, because human nature is selfish, human nature is me, me, me. And then sometimes, when you go off to college, you're influenced by other value systems or other people. The families that I know that keep the kids together as they become adults, that was because of good shepherding. That's because the parents knew how to instill good values, taught their children how to love and forgive, taught the children to look out for each other. And that pays off in the senior years, because these children will take care of their parents. I had the opportunity to take care of both of my parents in their final years, and I have been blessed tremendously for doing that. A good shepherd flies in the face. The qualities of a good shepherd flies in the face of a mentality that's very prevalent in our society right now. And the mentality goes like this: well, what about me? What about my happiness? What about my joy? What about my pleasure? As I like to say, here's how you spell the word family. F-A-M-I-L-Y. Each letter stands for something. F-A-M-I-L-Y stands for forget about me, I love you. Yeah, family life is to bring about harmony and peace and to meet each other's needs to a certain extent. But not to the point where any one person in the family becomes selfish, becomes self-centered. That'll devastate a family, just like it'll devastate a church when there's such radical individualism, when there's such radical me-me-me-ism. How do you become a good shepherd? Only by the grace of God, right? It's the grace of God that gives us the ability to follow the example of the good shepherd who laid down his life. You lay down your life in service, the rewards are out of this world. Who are our prayer partners today? I want you to pray for women and sometimes men who have breast cancer. Obviously, it's more dominant among women, and it's a frightening experience for women. Some women, they're just heroic in dealing with their breast cancer. And they need all our prayers and all our support and all our love as they go through the trauma, especially if they lose a breast and so much of their self-identity is caught up in that. Please pray for them, okay? I want to share with you our today's food for thought. It goes like this. Experience is what you get when you did not get what you wanted. Did you catch that? Experience is what you get when you did not get what you wanted. Because sometimes if you don't get what you wanted, instead of whining, you still learn from not getting what you wanted. You fine-tune your needs. You find another way of going after your desires. You learn experience. Growing up involves immaturity. The more experience you have, the more you're able to do wonderful things. Today's small tent to make you laugh. While leading a tour of a kindergarten students through our hospital, I overheard a conversation between one little girl and an x-ray technician. Have you ever broken a bone? The x-ray technician asked. Yes, the girl replied. Did it hurt? No. Really? Which bone did you break? My sister's arm. True story. Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Hey, let me hear from you, okay? It's great to hear from listeners. It gives me a lot of enthusiasm in continuing my radio ministry. Send me your prayer intentions. I will storm heaven with you and for you. I'll be your prayer partner. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. No charge. It comes out 6 times a year. Tells you where I'm preaching. You can support my hospital for the very, very poor in Mexico. You write a check to TASH, T-A-S-H, Inc. Send it to me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Don't forget, if you get a chance, visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.